You're listening to The Point. American folk music is most commonly associated with the 1960s and 70s. Pete Seeger, Joni Mitchell, and Bob Dylan might come to mind. But American folk music started long before that and is still being written and performed today. Joining us to talk about folk music is Clyde Tyndale, a member of the Woods Hole Folk Music Society. He's also responsible for booking artists for their concert series each year. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
On the phone with us, we have some musicians. Bill Staines, welcome to you.
Thank you. Morning.
Cindy Callett also joins us. Good morning, Cindy.
Yes, good morning.
And Gordon Bach is also on the phone. Good morning to you, Gordon.
Good morning.
Clyde, the Woods Hole Folk Music Society has been around for a long time, over 45 years, right?
We're about to start season number 46.
Wow. And Bill Staines, you've made it to the Cape to perform every year. What keeps you coming back?
I just love performing for the folk music society. You know, it's a great audience. It's great people that are running it, and you know, everybody participates. It's just a very, very warm atmosphere, and I just love it.
Yeah. Clyde, what do you think has kept the tradition of live folk music going so long here in Woods Hole?
Bunch of hard work. and the audience has been very receptive for all these years. In the early years, we were the only game in town. That's not true anymore. But people keep coming. Yeah. People keep coming to see the music. And I like to think we're one of the only venues around that hews to somewhat more traditional music, or tradition-based music. And that gives an outlet for performers that they don't see at all the other coffee houses around.
Yeah. Folk music became mainstream in the 1960s and 70s, but American folk music has been around a lot longer than that. What's the history and evolution of American folk music? Let's start with you, Clyde, and then anybody can jump in who wants to add to what you have to say.
How far back do you want to go?
Let's go as far back as you
when
know.
When you get into traditional music, I don't think there is any limit for how far back, because what we think of as folk music now is largely based on music people made at home themselves and made up their own songs or learned some song from a neighbor or a tune, played local dances, mm-hmm. all that kind of traditional thing, commented on the time. There's just a whole lot of things that make it, and it was not a formal music that you studied. You learned from your friends and your peers and made it up yourself.
Mm. Anybody want to add to that?
We have all the traditions of all the people who made up this country. They brought those with them, all those songs. And so we had an awful lot to feed from. And when you're learning from your neighbors, you weren't just learning your own family's songs or your own people's songs. You were learning songs from other countries, traditions from other countries.
Anybody else?
People have been singing songs forever, as Clyde was saying, but certainly the availability of LPs back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, and, you know, growing up, I was able to listen to so much that I, of course, never would have been able to hear had I lived in another era. So all the people that you mentioned earlier, plus the other gentlemen on the line, you know, I was able to listen to them and learn as well.
Bill, your music is sometimes referred to as country. How would you say folk music differs from blues or country music?
Well, let's see. I mean, you have sort of canned formal country music, you know, that's the industry thing that's happening nowadays. And, you know, I don't really consider that. It's more like country rock. It's, you know, I mean, there was the traditional country music, of course, that, you know, with the string band people and the real cowboy music and things like that. But I call my music country folk without being country and western, really. It's a lot of rural images and, you know, sort of wide open spaces and things like that. So it's, you know, it's not about, you know, your wife running off with somebody or spending time in saloons and you're driving your truck around. It's just really more about everybody's life. You know, it's more of an Americana type of thing. So I call it country folk.
Let's hear some music, and we'll start with a tune by you, Gordon Bach. This is titled Hills of Isle of Hot. So what can you tell us about this song before we hear it?
That's Isle of Ho.
Oh, sorry.
And the song came to me when I was on an old Brixham trawler in the Bay of Biscay and wishing I was on an old Brixham trawler somewhere else. And thinking about the landmarks, you know, where I come from and how important they were to me, really. Funny you should add that song, you know what, that song, because I'll be singing that tonight.
It's away into the western, there's a place a man should go. They say the fishing's always easy, they got no ice or snow. But I'll haul down the sail where the bays come together, tide away the days by the hills of Isle of Hope. Now the Plymouth girls are fine, they put their hearts in your hand. And the Plymouth boys are able, first-class sailors, everyone. But I'll haul down the sail where the days come together, bide away the days by the hills of Isle of Hope.
What a lovely voice you have, Gordon.
Yes, he does.
Very nice. Clyde, as you plan out the roster of musicians for the yearly concerts, is there something specific you're looking for in the performers?
As I said before, we're trying to focus on music that's, if not actually traditional, that's somewhat based in tradition. And it's interesting because all three of the people we have with us today are all known for their songwriting, but they're all in the category, I would say, that the songwriting comes out of tradition. They're all familiar with the tradition. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first big override of the booking. And then it's trying to get sort of balance in the season with different, because folk music includes a lot of genres, mm-hmm. and trying to get a balance of different kinds of music. We try to get a bluegrass band every year. We try to get some blues every year. We try to get some fiddle players and try to see if we can get the spectrum. And then a lot of it is musicians' schedules.
Mm, yeah, I would imagine. So how do you keep your finger on the pulse of new groups or musicians?
A lot of them try to find us, get a lot of cold canvas email. I do go to a couple of festivals and see what's going on there. Have in past years and every few years try to get to an industry conference. There's actually an industry conference.
Oh, I was going
to
say, wow.
and see what's there. Yeah. Keep my eyes what I'm hearing on the radio.
Right.
It's all around. And recommendations from other musicians.
Yeah, so is it tough to hear folk on the radio? There aren't a lot of radio stations playing folk, are there?
There are not a lot of radio stations playing folk music anymore. There never really were. Mm-hmm. And so around here, there's basically one that plays anything like folk music.
Right.
This
industry concert that you told, where do they hold it in the same place every year, or is it move around?
It used to move around. Yeah. This is the Folk Alliance, mm-hmm. Which formed, I think, around 30 years ago.
Wow.
Folk Music Society was one of the founding members. For years they moved around. Now they've been pretty stable in Kansas City for a few years.
Let's hear some music from you, Bill. This is Where Does the Love Go? What can you tell us about this song?
It's just one of those songs. There's not much to say about it, really. It was recorded back in 1993 on an album called Going to the West.
Did I hear you call my name out in the stillness of the night? Did I feel your arms around me just before the morning light? Was it just a dream from long ago? Back then, before the storms that brought the silent snow, something's found its way between us.
and it's brought a change in you. And I feel it like a wall, and I can't find my way home through. You turn from me whenever I draw near, and so I lie alone and wonder through the tears. Where does the love go when the love it goes away? Where does the love go? Will it ever come back someday? Oh, you tell me that it's over, that you got no more to say. Where does the love go when the love it goes away? Where does the love go when the love it goes away?
Another nice voice, Bill. Cindy Kelly, what are some of the musicians you grew up listening to, and do any of them influence your music today?
I would say absolutely. I mean, I can't pick apart the strands of influence, but they're definitely there. Some of the people that were first mentioned, Burl Ives, Pete Seeger, when I was in my teens, Joni Mitchell, Gordon Bach, listened to Bill Staines. I listened to piles of some both traditional and original songwriters. And I had also some classical influences from piano and violin, but picked up the guitar and taught myself and kind of developed a style that brought everything together, I imagine. Mm. And then started writing songs when I was about 12 years old.
Wow.
I hated junior high school, and writing songs was a really good way of dealing with that. So I just have the deepest respect for songs that have already been written by people that we don't even know, and that means a lot. It means a lot to listen to those stories, try to understand lives from other parts of the world, from times past. And when I decide to make up a song, or I don't actually decide, sometimes the song just decides to be made up, there's always the, does this need to exist? You know, is that somebody already said this better? But I think when you write songs, it really, what I said before, you don't really have much control. It asks to be written.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm thinking from the songwriter's perspective, when you write a song and somebody else performs it. When I used to live in Nashville, and I had a friend who was a songwriter, and so I'd only heard her do this particular song. And then I was borrowing a friend's car one day, and she had a cassette tape in there, and then I heard the more famous version of it, and I thought, what the heck is this? You know, it was such a different style and different interpretation. And I went from a songwriter. I guess it's a great thing to hear your song, you know, being played on the radio and somebody singing it and, you know, making it a big hit. But at the same time, somebody else doing your song, it's such a personal thing. I don't know. How do you, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had anybody else do your songs, but
I have, yes, quite a number of times. Not any big hits, though.
Not so, yet.
It is a funny feeling. When you put your song out, it's not yours. You know, you have the part of it that means what it means to you. But often people make their own interpretations, mm-hmm. which is absolutely wonderful. It's a little disconcerting to hear melodies changed and rhythms changed. Mm-hmm. I think that's almost more of a puzzle, but again, it's what somebody makes of it, and I'm delighted that it means something to them.
All right, well, let's hear a song performed by Cindy Kellett and Gray Larson. This is titled "You Say Yes." Cindy, tell us about this song.
Yeah. It's called "If You Say Yes," and I heard a lady talking about influences. I heard a Ladysmith Black Mambazo song that started. I don't remember any of the song except somebody said, and I was thinking about that idea, and there were a lot of no answers in my life at that point. I had students coming for lessons saying, oh, I have to kind of act stupid at school because it's not cool to be smart. And, you know, it seemed like there was a lot of negativity. So I just decided to make up this song, or it decided to make itself up. And here it is.
Step, gotta close your eyes, gotta hold your breath. Somebody said, if you say yes, where will it lead?
Somebody said, gotta lock your car, gotta draw the shades, gotta bolt the door. Somebody said, if you say yes, where will it lead? Where will it lead? Where will it lead you? But that fussy old crow's on the gutter again, and a tufty little bird's in the backyard tree. And I've worn holes in my blue jeans down on my knees. Somebody said, if you sing too loud or you dance too wild, stick out in a crowd. Somebody said, if you say yes, where will it lead? Where will it lead? Where will it lead you? Somebody said, if you rock the boat, if you climb too high, if you swim the moat. Somebody said, if you say yes, where will it lead? Where will it lead? Where will it lead you?
Again, another beautiful voice. Clyde, you're doing a good job putting together these musicians for this concert. We're talking folk music with musicians Bill Staines, Cindy Callett, and Gordon Bach, along with Clyde Tyndale from the Woods Hole Folk Music Society. We'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking folk music with Clyde Tyndale from the Woods Hole Folk Music Society and musicians Gordon Bach, Cindy Callett, and Bill Staines. Anybody can answer this question, but do you see a future for acoustic and folk music as technology starts to take over so many aspects of our lives, including our music?
I certainly do.
The last refuge of the people, really. It's there's a nice jam session going on right locally here in Rockland at a wonderful local museum. Happens every Sunday, and people really turn out for that, not just to participate, but to hang out, and everybody's welcome to play anything.
Those are the most fun. Yeah, because you never know who's going to show up with what instrument, right?
Right.
A comment here. I was thinking about this some years back, whether, you know, there was a future for folk music and people like myself and a lot of other people traveling around the country and playing their music for people. And in the last 10 years or so, there's been a phenomenon that's developed called house concerts. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people are opening up their homes to musicians traveling through, especially during the week. And it dawned on me that it's really sort of folk music at a 300-year full circle, where when you think about the Irish harpers and storytellers that went into people's homes and performed their craft. Mm. And that's happening all over the place now. I know that people will call me and say, do you ever get to some little town in Iowa? And I say, no, but if there's somebody with a house, big enough to bring in 40 people or so, 50 people or whatever, and they go, really? And so that's really a thing that's developed, but it's really an old tradition.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a big future in along those lines.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've been to some of those house parties. They're fun, yeah. Go ahead, Cindy.
There's also a lot of music camps for adults or adult-like children across the country, typically in the summer, but not always. They may be 4 days or a week long, and there are so many young people that it's just a joy to hear and see that are interested in folk music of all sorts, whether it's old-time or songwriting or Celtic-based. There's all kinds of different parts of the world. In any case, it's just wonderful to see. There's really, I think, a real movement of young people that are interested in this kind of music. So that's a delight.
Yeah. Clyde, how has the genre of folk music evolved since you first started staging the concerts in Woods Hole?
I think there's probably more writers now. The other thing that I've noticed, with talking about younger people getting in music, is people that get interested in folk music in their youth and go to music school and study and get a lot of serious music training and come out. We have a lot of young fiddle players that have gone that route, mm-hmm. and they're phenomenal because in school they get all this great technique. But they haven't lost they're really digging into the traditional music, and they haven't lost the feel. They're just adding all this school technique to it.
Yeah.
And it's very encouraging because there are a lot of them. We've had quite a number in Woods Hole, not only in this country, but up in Canada. And some of them have come down here, Nova Scotia and the Maritimes. So that I'm certainly not, I'm not particularly worried about folk music dying. Folk music's death has been declared many, many times.
And it's still going strong.
Still going strong. Yeah. And Cindy's right. The camps are very strong. The other scene that's very strong is dance. The contra dances are just booming. All over the country there are dances. A lot of young people are at those dances participating and playing. And so that's another aspect of the genre that's going very strong.
Yeah. Folk music most commonly associated with the 1960s and 70s in America, and that was also the protest music of the period, largely protesting against the war in Vietnam. How did the folk music change at the end of the war?
Well, I think the protest music died down a little bit. It died down a little.
A little, yeah.
There is still protest music going on. Some of the same musicians are still out there singing, and newer, younger ones. And the protest is going into some different genres. Just, in fact, I heard a radio interview the other day with one of our old folk rockers, and who's still, there's rock bands doing, putting protest songs into their repertoire. Mm-hmm. And although I don't listen to the genre much, I suspect there's a lot going on in the hip-hop world.
I'll say rap, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Folk musicians that were, you know, popular, we mentioned Joni Mitchell, Johnny Cash, Pete Seeger, Bob Dylan. Are there popular musicians today, other than you three we have on the phone, that have their roots in American folk tradition?
I think quite a few.
Quite a few, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody cares to name who they might think they are, but I mean, quite a number of some of the aging rockers actually came out of folk music. The Grateful Dead were a bunch of folkies
in
the beginning. They're not the only ones that went into rock music,
right?
And some of whom are still around.
And, you know, we talked to Cindy about her writing, but Gordon, Bill, when did you start writing? And talk a little bit about the inspiration, where you get your ideas for the music you write.
Gordon?
Well, I get it mostly from the people around me and the people I've grown up with, people I've met. Mostly I grew up with traditional music of various sorts, so that's, of course, always influenced me. But I started off mostly by singing just about people I knew, just wondering about their lives and how they held it all together.
And what about you, Bill?
Well, you know, I used to listen to a lot of people like Ian and Sylvia and very early Gordon Lightfoot and of course, Pete Seeger and the Weavers. In fact, I used to have a little band, a little rock and roll band when I was in junior high school, and the mother of one of the folks came down into the basement when we were rehearsing one day, and they said, you should listen to this album. And she put on the Weavers at Carnegie Hall, the original one. And suddenly we just, you know, dropped our guitars and picked up banjos and, you know, we didn't drop our guitars, but, you know, unplugged the guitars and started playing banjo and sort of string band music. And then I remember going to the 1965 Newport Folk Festival, and they called what they call the New Folks Concert. And it was actually Pat Skye and Gordon Lightfoot and Kathy and Carol from California. And I walked away from that concert knowing the style of music. The Chambers Brothers were there. And I walked away knowing the style of music I wanted to play and the fact that I really wanted to be a songwriter. And the early songs were very Dylan-esque, a lot of Hey Babes and things like that. And then I started writing about people and places that I was beginning to go to, and it evolved from there.
Yeah. The Woods Hole Folk Music Society concert series runs October through April. We'll have more details about their lineup of performances at our website, capeandislands.org. We're going to go out on Bill Stein's song, Dear Friend. Bill, you want to say anything about that?
This is actually a commissioned piece. A lady in Oregon had a very, very dear friend who wanted to give this person a gift, and she said, "Could you write a song?" And so I sat down and just thought about all my friends, and this happened. Mm.
Clyde Tyndale of Woods Hole Folk Music Society and musicians Cindy Callett, Gordon Bach, and Bill Staines, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for inviting us.
I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Though we go our separate way, still I know we've had our day, my friend. Beside the flowers, I've fallen to the floor. I've felt my wings unbound, and I have wondered what they're for. Still, you've never asked the reasons, and you've never asked the whys. So I see myself in freedom when I look into your eyes, dear friend. We have carried life within us like a fire. Like a hot and burning fire, running on and leaping higher. Though we've danced within the flames, we will always be the same, my friend. Dear friend, I have seen so many people come and go, and I felt the waters flow through the years of highs and lows. All is said and through, still my thoughts come back to you.